Welcome to Very Fantastic Discoveries with me, Jugi Fulmer. Today, we are going to talk about stories from Norse mythology and discover why Frey was killed so easily by Servant Ragnarok, and how Odin's mistake to trick Fenris Wolf would lead to his death at Ragnarok. Let's get started. Our first story is about Frey, who we last met in the Loki story, driving his chariot with a gold boar. Now, though, he was searching for his sister, Freya. Freya was in turn searching for her husband, Odd, but she had not been back for some time. Frey got so worried about Freya that he sat on Odin's high seat to look for her. Only Odin and Frigg could do this without suffering terrible misfortune, but since Frey was so worried, he disregarded the sacred rule and tried to look for Freya. He did not spy Freya, but he did spy a beautiful Jotun maiden, Gerd, and he immediately fell in love with her. Gerd did not pay attention to Frey, though, because Frey was the god of summer, and she was a wintry ice Jotun. Frey was determined, however, and told his advisor to seek out Gerd and convince her. As payment, the advisor got Frey's Sword of Summer. The book I read stated that when the advisor failed to convince Gerd, the advisor wrote an evil rune that stated that no one would ever love her again, for she would be so ugly. Gerd was convinced and went with the advisor to Frey. I do not know if Frey and Gerd had a happy life together or not, but the important bit is that when he gave his sword to his servant, it was passed down from owner to owner until it reached the fire Jotun, Surt, who would use it to strike down its original owner. Our next story for today is about another thing that the gods did that would come back to bite them at Ragnarok. In this case, literally. Loki had a faithful wife, Sigyn, but he also had a monstrous wife, the Jotun Angerboda, and a horse, but we are only going to focus on Angerboda today. With her, he had the world-destroying world serpent, the world-destroying Fenris Wolf, and the goddess of death, Hel, spelled H-E-L, who looked like the most bizarre version of Two-Face that you have ever seen. Although Fenris and the world serpent were small back when Loki first brought them to Asgard, they continued to grow until they were so big, Odin had to tie Fenris up and throw the world serpent into the sea where it had encircled the earth. However, Fenris always shredded the bonds that the gods put on him, until finally, the gnomes made ropes that were created out of impossible things, which the gods put on Fenris. Fenris was skeptical of the bonds, and the gods said that he would be able to break this bond easily. And if they were lying, Fenris would be allowed to bite one of their hands off. Fenris agreed, but the gods tricked him. He was not able to break the bonds. He bit off Tyr's hand, and Odin put Fenris and his bonds on a distant island where he would await Ragnarok. At Ragnarok, however, he swallowed the sun and Odin in one gulp before being defeated by Vidar. Now I welcome our current guest, Dylan Fulmer.
Hey, Jugi, how's it going?
It's going great, Daddy.
So Norse mythology again.
Yeah.
It's a good topic. It's always interesting to me because I know when I was growing up, when I was your age, I was learning a lot about Greek and Roman mythology and not so much about anything else. That was like the mainstream and like, you know, Norse mythology, you're into that, you're into the Greek mythology, you're into everything. So Norse mythology is cool to me because I don't know as much about it. So I especially enjoy talking to you about it.
Yeah, Norse mythology is my favorite mythology, and it's all too fitting that I'm doing a Norse mythology episode, seeing as we watched Thor Ragnarok last night.
Yes, we did. And as we discussed during that movie, it was not anything even remotely close to the original myths.
Yes.
It was more of like a jumping off point, like, all right, here's some characters we'll use, and they'll be named the same, but everything else is, you know, sort of out the window.
Yeah, because but we're not here to talk about that.
We're not here to talk about that. That is true. We often digress because there are so many interesting things to discuss.
Yeah.
So, Frey.
Yeah.
Frey was Odin's son. Yes?
No.
Frey was not Odin's son. Frey was...
There was this big war, the Aesir-Vanir War, where the Aesir fought against another tribe of gods, and... Mm-hmm. And some hostages were exchanged.
Right.
And the hostages that Odin sent over were a talking head and a minor god.
Okay.
And the hostages the Vanir sent over were Freya, Frey, and Nord.
So where did Frey and Freya and Nord come from? Who were their parents?
It doesn't really say. It's just that they were the Vanir hostages that they were brought to Asgard.
But he was like a god like Odin and Loki and all those, or what?
Yeah, I'm the god of summer and nature.
Gotcha.
And I discussed in the episode that even though he had his eyes set on an ice-jotun gird, it would not have been that good of a pairing because she's an ice-jotun and he... Like, basically a winter kind of Jotun, or a winter kind of person, and he's a summer person.
Right, but they
by
could...
By definition.
Right, but they could balance each other out. Oftentimes, pairings work even better when there's complementary situation going on, rather than the two people being exactly the same. Frey, the story that you were telling was that he had to give up his sword.
Yeah, because...
And he had a very special sword?
It was just a sword, but as I said, because he gave it up, Surt eventually got hold of it and ran him through with it at Ragnarok.
Right, but I thought I had read it was special where it would, like... automatically fly and kill people or something like that.
If they were like worthy.
Right. Okay.
Kind of like Thor's hammer in the Marvel, but not in the myth.
Gotcha. So it was sort of a special sword, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay. And he had to give it up. And so was it coincidentally that he gave it up when he married what's her name?
Gerd. No, it was because. He was like, hey, servant, can you go over there and try to convince Gerd one more time? Uh-huh. And the servant was like, okay, can you give me your sword?
So he wanted the sword as, like, payment or as protection?
Like, payment.
Payment to Gerd? Like, here
no,
you can...
No, like, it was, like, being paid for a job.
Oh, okay, so he...
Yeah, it was, like, being...
He's like, I'll do it, but you gotta give me your sword.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay, so...
Yeah, and I believe Frey, also gave him a super-fast horse.
And what was the servant's name?
Something that started with an S, I forget.
Salamander?
No.
No
Norse guy.
Yeah, you never know. So he gave this guy a horse and a sword, so...
And that sword eventually, as I said...
Ended up with Surt.
Yeah, and in the Rick Riordan books, it also ended up also as the sword of Magnus Chase, who named it Jack.
Jack the Sword.
That does not fit at all.
Eh. So after Frey gave his servant Salamander the sword and the horse,
yeah,
he was like empty-handed, like.
Yeah, but.
But then he got the. But the, but so he, the servant went to get Gerd.
Yeah.
Gert or Gerd?
Gerd.
Okay.
And when I was.
Sounds like a condition.
And I was doing it in the voice typing for the script, mm-hmm. and it came out in all capital letters for some reason.
Right. Because it's some sort of like medical condition, I think, involving like bacteria or something like that. So servant went to get Gerd, and Gerd was like, "All right, cool this time." Like, so what happened?
No, Gerd actually did not. But in the book I read, the Norse mythology book, said that that Salamander was wrote a rune that meant that she would become so hideous that that only a troll with icicles on his beard would ever love her.
Huh.
Or something like that. And you know.
So Gerd never ended up being Frey's wife?
As I mentioned in the episode, I don't know whether they had a happy life or not, but Gerd eventually cracked because she didn't want to be so ugly that some guy with icicles on his beard. Gotcha.
So she agreed to marry Frey in order to stay attractive?
Yes.
Interesting. Okay.
And you know, the runes had only been so recently discovered by Odin when he hung himself on the world tree to gain knowledge.
Gotcha. Okay. So then, how much time passed between Frey giving up his sword and then it ending up with Surt and then Surt offing him with it?
At least 3 years.
At least 3 years. So, okay, so Salamander had it, what did Salamander do? How did Salamander get the sword to Surt?
All I know is that it passed from owner to owner
right. Until
it reached Surt.
Gotcha.
Should we talk
so
about...
So, why did... Hold on. So, why did Surt want this sword in particular if it wasn't especially magic, though?
I don't know, maybe...
Just the irony of it, or...
Yeah, maybe the irony, but I think it may have also helped him destroy the Nine Worlds, because remember in the movie he had the gigantic sword? Maybe right. It was... I'm not sure. There's
maybe
a chance.
Maybe it grew with him and got more powerful with him or something like that.
There's a chance.
I guess so. So the moral of this story is watch out. Some of your decisions may come back to haunt you.
Yeah, and remember, he wouldn't have even seen the Gerd at all if he had not defied the ancient rules and went to sit on Odin's big old seat.
Odin's big old seat.
Because if you went in there, you could... see a bird's eye view of all the nine worlds and see what people were up to. Mm-hmm. And the reason why Frey did that was because, remember, Freya, his sister,
right.
Was searching the nine worlds for her husband, Odd,
mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, means like arrow's tip. And
is it related to Odin?
No, Odd.
Odd and Odin. Okay.
No, and she hadn't gotten back, so that's why he went to Odin's high seat, mm-hmm. To look for her. But if anybody but Odin or Frigg sat in it, then there would be total misfortune. So I guess the real perpetrator of this is Odd, who went missing and caused Freya to look for him, which caused Freya to look for her.
Yeah, well, that's just dumb luck, I guess. What was his deal? Why was he lost, anyway? Was he, like, just wandering about, or had he been
I think he was just wandering about.
On a walkabout, as they say.
So, Fenris Wolf. And Loki's monstrous brood.
Fenris Wolf, also known as Fenrir, yes?
Yeah.
Okay. Big, giant wolf. Right. Like, made, like, big as an elephant, right? Or bigger than an elephant?
Well, at first, He was about as small as a dog, but eventually he grew and grew, and you saw what he looked like in the movie.
Right.
He would be roughly about that size in the mythology, I think.
Mm-hmm. That was like that book. Do you remember that book we read when you were very young, that fish that kept getting bigger and bigger?
The fish, was it?
Otto or something, wasn't it?
I think.
Yeah, anyway. So, the wolf kept getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
And then what happened?
Odin had been having visions of the future, and he saw the Loki's children, Hela, Jormungandr the serpent, and Fenris would end up destroying the nine worlds, except actually, you know how in the movie Hela's like this super bad guy?
Bad gal.
She did not do all that much in Norse mythology. Certainly not bad things.
Gotcha.
So I don't know why they did that. And I also mentioned...
Probably the patriarchy, again.
That in the mythology, she was apparently kind of like Two-Face from Batman, as I mentioned, because on one side she was a woman and the other side she was a zombie.
Right.
And she ruled over the underworld, which was named after her, Helheim.
Helheim. Is that where we get hell from, I would imagine?
I would think so. And actually, her real name was Hel, but without the extra L at the end.
So where did Hela come from then?
Probably just the Marvel.
Gotcha. So anyway, back to the wolf. So the wolf kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and then what happened?
Odin had been having visions of the future, and he saw that that the wolf and the Jormungandr serpent would destroy the universe, so he threw the serpent into the sea where it grew so big that it encircled the entire Earth.
Whoa. But, like a big belt?
Yeah, and then he, like, bound Fenris in ropes, but Fenris was getting so strong that he ripped the bonds as easily as I ripped this tissue.
Gotcha. And then what? So then what?
So they kept trying bonds and bonds.
Right.
But he shredded each one.
I read they finally made, like, the things that finally got him... The chains that finally ended up binding him, they made him out of, like, magic stuff, like whispers or something like that.
No, like, impossible things, like the footsteps of a cat, the roots of a mountain, the beard of a woman, things like that.
Right.
The breath of a fish. And that's actually what I read, those things.
So was it like an Emperor's New Clothes kind of chain? Like, it was nothing?
No. It was definitely solid. It was just made of impossible things.
Gotcha.
And as I said, they made a deal with Fenris. Fenris was skeptical of the bond because it looked as thin as a piece of twine.
But it was very strong.
The Aesir said... That he would probably be able to break through it easily. And Fenris was like, okay, but to make sure you're not lying to me, how about when you put your hand in my mouth and if you're lying, I bite it off.
Right, and he got his hand bit off. And then they...
Tyr
got his hand bit off. And then they put like a sword in his mouth or something like that, right?
And bound him on an island.
Right.
But actually, Sword of Frey actually had some significance.
Was that the sword they used to keep his mouth open?
I think it was actually the sword that Surt used to slice open the bonds.
Gotcha.
At least that's what Magnus Chase says.
Well, no, I thought that Fenris got out of the chains himself during Ragnarok, that he didn't need anybody's help.
And there are a lot of conflicting sources, but either he broke free or Surt broke him free.
Either way. Okay. So then he was bound on this island, and then what happened after that? He was just there chilling, and people were, like, afraid of him.
Yeah, and...
Parents told their children, watch out, or Fenris is going to get you.
And Ragnarok came around, and he went out onto the battlefield, mm-hmm. and some stories say that he swallowed the sun.
Swallowed the sun.
But other sources say that there had been two Jotuns disguised as Fenris, mm-hmm. or like two wolves running across the sky trying to catch up to the sun, mm-hmm. and that when Ragnarok came, the sun slowed down enough for them to eat it, but mm-hmm. either way, the sun was eaten by wolves.
Wow. Well, we're going to have to do a whole Ragnarok episode soon, I think.
Yeah, and remember
we keep talking about it every time we do a Norse mythology episode.
Yeah, but also, so Odin came charging with on his horse Sleipnir, which had eight legs, mm-hmm. and Loki was actually the mom
of the that horse. Loki, man, gets around.
And mom, not dad, mom.
Right.
And that's because of a story we'll get to later. Mm-hmm. Odin comes riding around on his horse, preparing to face Fenris. Gulp.
Uh-oh.
Fenris
just, like, ran up and just swallowed him?
No, it was like Odin ran straight down his throat.
Oh, wow.
What do you think of that?
That's pretty that's bold.
Miscalculated,
I suppose.
Yeah, and as for his brother, the Jormungand Serpent, Thor was the one who fought him.
And then what happened to with that situation?
They both killed each other.
Gotcha.
My ideal Thor Ragnarok would have all of that happening.
And not all that ridiculous nonsense about the Grandmaster and the fighting pits and everything like that.
Yeah.
Right, because as we know, yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, because the important... Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, so, again, so, okay, so the theme of the first one you were saying is that, you know, something you're doing now might come back to haunt you. How did the Fenris story deal with the situation that came back to haunt people?
So they tied up Fenris.
Right.
And then Fenris ate them afterwards.
Wow.
So.
I can't really blame Fenris for that.
No, I can't either. But I guess Tyr, must have been the first guy to wear a hook instead of a hand, like in Peter Pan.
Probably. All right, Jungi. Well, thank you again for another fantastic conversation. It's too bad that we didn't talk about anything with, like, birds or anything like that, since the Eagles are going to be playing the Patriots in the Super Bowl tonight. Or some people call it the Superb Owl.
Why the Superb Owl?
Super Bowl, but if you take the B from bowl and put it on the end of super, you have Superb Owl. Anyway, thanks again for a great conversation. And then, so next week we're talking about another Lemony Snicket book?
With the mill, remember?
The Miserable Mill, yes.
The mill with one of the villains that was based off this guy named George Orwell.
Aha, author. All right, Jungi. Well, talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon. Thank you for listening. You can listen to Very Fantastic Discoveries on iTunes, Stitcher, and many others, and you won't even have to exchange your magic sword. You can also check us out at veryfantasticdiscoveries.com without having to bind a magic wolf first. Next week, we will be talking about the fourth book in Lemony Snicket's series of worship hits, The Miserable Mill. See you next time!